الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له، ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, beloved elders, we had been discussing integrity of a Muslim businessman, his truthfulness, his trustworthiness, and we had mentioned to you how in the past Muslim merchants were completely distinct and recognized through their truthfulness and through their honesty. In the context of their business, we found that they were absolutely truthful and trustworthy, and we find remarkable incidents that history has recorded regarding them that we had mentioned. This was not exclusive only to the business fraternity, but we find that people, like we mentioned, not only the buyers and sellers and debtors and creditors, but together with that, even beggars had integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. Similarly, even women folk, we find this was practiced with them as well. And actually, if you go and see in reality, the quality of truthfulness and trustworthiness is supposed to be a distinguishing hallmark of a Muslim. Every mu'min is supposed to be truthful and supposed to be full of trustworthiness. And this was an outstanding quality from many of the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely truthful and he was trustworthy. Even prior to Nubuwwat, we find in the Meccan era, prior to Nubuwwat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was renowned as a Sadiqul Amin, person that's absolutely truthful, and Amin, the one that are completely trustworthy. And it's mentioned when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the advent of prophethood, had addressed the Meccans and told them, if I tell you that there is an army waiting for you on the other side of this mountain, will you accept? They all unanimously mentioned that we'll definitely accept ma jarrabna alayka kaziban, we have never experienced any falsehood, you are absolutely true and truthful in your speech at all times. Though they did not accept the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning, but we find that they used to leave their trust and amanat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so trustworthy that he did not accept the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not enter into the fall of Islam, but yet they used to leave their valuables and the items with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was so trustworthy. So these were exceptional qualities and outstanding qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also it should be the quality of every mu'min to be truthful, not only in business, but at all times. And trustworthy, not only in business, but at all times. At all times he should be trustworthy. People should have that belief in him that this person will never betray us, will never breach his trust. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though he was so trustworthy, we find on one occasion with this ayah that we have recited, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُعَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا, that definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to fulfill the trust obligations to those people that are deserving. The background of this ayat was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, before the advent, before the hijrat, had come to Uthman bin Talha, who was the key keeper of Makkatul Mukarramah, of the Kaabatullah in Makkatul Mukarramah. He was in charge of the keys. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked him, the Kaabatullah used to be open in those days on Thursdays and Mondays. People used to go into the Baytullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked him to open the Baytullah, and he was very rude and impolite to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he refused to oblige. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very tolerant, told him words to this effect, that Uthman, there will come a day when this key will be in my hands. This key of the Baytullah will be in my hands, and I will have a choice, I will give it to whomsoever I want. He mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will be a day when the Quraysh will be uprooted, and they will be disgraced. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, that will be a day when the Quraysh will be established and they will be honored. However, he mentions an incident, and thereafter he mentioned that at the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Uthman bin Talha for the key of the Baytullah. Some riwayat mentioned that he gives the key. Some riwayat mentions that he climbs onto the Baytullah, refuses to give the key. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu forcefully takes the key from him and gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters into the Baytullah, he reads namaz and makes dua, etc., and then he leaves the Baytullah, he comes out and he calls Uthman bin Talha and gives him back the key. and tells him that this key will remain with you and nobody would have the right to take the key away. As Umar radiallahu anhu says, when he had come out, he was reading this verse, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُعَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا. Who is being addressed? The one that is most truthful, the one that is most trustworthy. He is being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala commands you to fulfill the trust obligations to those people that are deserving. And Hazrat Huzurullah Huzur gives that key to Usman bin Talha, Shayba, mentioned right up to this day that key is in the hands of the family of Usman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. The moral for us here is Rasulullah is commanded to fulfill the trust obligations and give it to those people that are due. So trustworthiness, truthfulness is supposed to be an outstanding hallmark of every mu'min, and not only in the context of buying and selling, but all walks of life. As Anas radiallahu anhu mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was barely a sermon where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention this hadith, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person that does not honor his trust obligations, there is no iman for him. It's like not having iman at all. And that person that does not stand by his promises is a person that's got no deen at all. So much significance, so much importance for a person to be trustworthy, for a person to be truthful, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says here that a person is not trustworthy, he's got no, absolutely no iman. And a person that does not stand by his promises is like a person that has no deen whatsoever. Yet another hadith we understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that there are four attributes and four qualities. Arbaun, إِذَا كُنَّ فِيكَ فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. There are four attributes and four qualities. If they are found in you, then apart from that, whatever you lose from the dunya is insignificant. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever you lose from the dunya thereafter, after having these four qualities, there is no harm upon you. And what are those four qualities? The first one is حِفْزُ أَمَانَةٍ, to safeguard your trust. To safeguard your trust, this is a very, very great attribute that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here. وَصِدْقُ حَدِيثٍ, and to speak truthfully. To be truthful in your speech. Here again, together with trustworthiness, to be truthful in your speech. And together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَحُسْنُ خَلِيقَةٍ, to have a good akhlaq. To have a good akhlaq. وَعِفَّةُ تُعْمَةٍ, and to have that muscle that is completely pure, not contaminated, completely pure from haram and doubtful sources. If you have these four things, then if you don't have anything else from the dunya, then there is no harm upon you. Here at the base and beginning of this is حِفْزُ أَمَانَةٍ, that you look after your trust, and the trust is entrusted to you, then you look after it and you fulfill it. Though we are mentioning here in the context of those sifat and attributes that have come in the context of buying and selling, purchasing a tajir, saduqul ameen, like we had mentioned, that tajir and that trader that is absolutely truthful and that trader that is trustworthy, then he would be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, was siddiqeen wa shuhada, and the truthful people and the martyrs. Yet we should remember that when it comes to amanat and trustworthiness, it is not restricted only to buying and selling. It's restricted to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of the people, is restricted to our bodies, etc. All this is given as amanat and trust to us, this body that we have, this time that we have, all the other ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have, these are all trust. So it has a very, very wide meaning and a very, very wide connotation, the word trust. However, here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here the four great attributes that a person ought to have. Then we find that not having trustworthiness and to be treacherous and to break the promises, similarly not to be truthful, there's not the attribute of a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ayatul munafiq salasatun. There are three attributes and signs and symbols of a munafiq. A person that's a munafiq, that's a hypocrite, is that person is a haddasa kadhaba. The person when he speaks lies. And together with that, wa'idha wa'ada akhlafa. When he makes a promise, then he breaks his promise. And wa'idha tumina khana. And when he's entrusted with something, then there's breach of trust. Otherwise, he doesn't fulfill the trust of his. This is an attribute of who? A person that is a munafiq. And we find that these are not only attributes of a mu'min before which he gets reward, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that many goodness comes to him because of this great attributes of being truthful and being trustworthiness. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him sometime for calamities. Allah ta'ala gives him barakat in his wealth here. Allah ta'ala makes it the means of guidance for other people just by upholding these sterling attributes and the sterling qualities. We look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know the famous incident of the Bani Israel, where three people were going on a journey and began to rain, and they went into a cave. They went into a cave, and while they were in the cave, a boulder had come and they had blocked off and sealed off the mouth of the cave. And so to say, they were entrapped therein. Now they had decided to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the good deeds that they had performed. O Allah, by virtue of this good deed that I have performed, save us from this calamity. Take away this difficulty and hardship from us. Here the principle you should remember, like we can ask for intercession from a pious person, we can ask for intercession also of a person's pious deeds. So there are three actions that I mentioned. One of them was when a person had gone, there were three actions that I mentioned here. We will only mention the last action for sake of brevity, that is concerning our topic here. That is the third person mentioned his action, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the boulder moved a little. The second one mentioned his action, and the boulder moved. And the third person mentioned, O Allah, you know I had hired a person to work for me, and I promised him one farak, that was a few kilos of the grains. And when the time came to repay him, then he did not accept the remuneration, and I had taken it and sowed it into the ground. And whatever the yield was, therefore, whatever the plants thereafter, after I have harvested the plantation, I had bought cows and I had bought the shepherd. Other words, he had acted honestly in this what was left and entrusted to him, that is the wages of that person. And I had invested it in these cows and the shepherd. When he had come to me one day and asked me for this, and I told him that go, that all those cows and the shepherd belong to you. He began to tell me, stop joking with me. He said, I'm not joking with you, I'm serious. This is what I've done, I'd invested, and this is the yield of your investment. In other words, after I had sowed those seeds into the ground, and whatever the yield was therefrom, I had bought this, and all this now belongs to you. In other words, he had acted absolutely honestly and with complete trustworthiness as far as that amanat was concerned. He mentioned the boulder moved, and finally the cave was opened, and we find they had come out of the cave. So here the person's honesty and his trustworthiness has helped him even in this dunya and saved him from calamities even in this dunya. Apart from the reward, we find that these good actions are effective. There's a strange, striking story of a person, Qazi Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Abdul Baqi. He mentions his own incident, and he says, one day I was a student in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and I was caught up in hunger, and I had nothing to take away my hunger. While I was walking, I found a silk purse, and I picked it up and went into my home. When I opened this purse, I found a pearl necklace in this purse. And such a beautiful necklace that I never saw before. I had never seen such a necklace before. He says, thereafter, when I had come out of my home, I found an elderly person walking on the road, and he had 100 gold coins. And he was mentioning in a piece of cloth, and he was announcing and mentioning, this is for that person who finds my purse and returns it to me. So I thought to myself, a very unique opportunity for me to get this, because I'm troubled here with hunger and I have nothing to go by. I should take this purse, give it to this person, and take this 1,000 gold coins that he is offering. I took this person and I told him to come to my house, and after he sent it to my house, I asked him to describe this purse. He described it exactly like it was. The amount of beads that were in the necklace, etc., the color of the purse in the pouch, and how it was tied, what it was tied, exactly, and I was convinced that this belonged to him. I had taken it and given it out to him, and he had offered me the 1,000 gold coins. So I told him a thousand gold coins. I told him that I do not want those gold coins. I was duty bound to return this to you, and I will not take any remuneration for this. However, this person took this and went away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget the good deeds that we do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware of what sacrifice a person goes through when he is doing good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always repays a person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. People that do good, their reward is never in vain. So it's mentioned thereafter, this person had gone on to a journey in a boat, in a ship, and there was a shipwreck. Many people had drowned in the shipwreck, and he had caught on frantically fighting for his life, and as the raft had proceeded, they had come to an island. When they had come to an island, he had got off the island. There was a place where Muslims had lived. And thereafter he had gone to the masjid in that island, and he began to recite the Holy Quran. People were very impressed by his recitation, and they employed him to teach the Quran to the people, later the children in that vicinity. And he began to teach the Quran, and they used to remunerate him and pay him for his services. While he was there, he came across some pages of the Holy Quran, and he began to recite those pages. They realized that he's a person that is conversant with reading. So they asked him, if you can also read, and he's a literate person. He said, yes, and they appointed him to teach their children the Arabic language. While he was there, employing his service were employed by these people, teaching the children and the adults. He said they offered him to get married. They offered him to get married to an orphan girl there, and he refused. But upon their persistence, he got married to her. And when he got married to her, and when he met her, his eyes fell onto her neck, the same necklace that he had picked up in Makkah al-Mukarramah years ago that was on her neck. And he began staring at that necklace. The people told him that you will offend this girl. Instead of admiring her after you are married to her, you are admiring the necklace. So he began to tell them the story of that necklace, that this is the same necklace that was picked up by me in Makkah al-Mukarramah and returned to a person. They began, when he began to relate this incident, they all said, Allahu Akbar. And they said, this necklace had belonged to the father of this girl. It belonged to the father of this girl. And he always used to say, I have never met a man that was more truthful than that person that picked up this necklace. And I wish that man could come to us so that I can marry my daughter to him. I wish that man can come to us so that I can marry my daughter to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled the dua of that old man. Fulfilled the dua of that old man. He says, thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me two sons from this woman that I was married to. And the two sons passed away. And my wife passed away. And my two sons and myself inherited that necklace. Thereafter, my sons passed away. And I inherited that necklace. And thereafter, I sold this necklace, not for 1,000 gold coins, but for 100,000 gold coins. Same necklace that I had given back, and not taken any remuneration for giving it back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it into my possession. And finally, when I sold it, ultimately, I sold it for 100,000 gold coins. So this was the honesty, the integrity, the truthfulness that he had. There's so many incidents like that. It's mentioned about Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain, rahmatullahi alayhi, Kandilvi. He was a great pious saint from the Ulama-i Deoband. It's mentioned once he was en route from Kandla to Gango, and in those days they used to undertake the journey by oxen, ox wagon, etc., and by foot. And there were a lot of highway robberies at that time. It says while he was en route with his woman folk and his household, and while he was going, he was surrounded by the gang of robbers. And he realized that these people are experts in their field, and I will not take any chances with them. So he went up to the leader and told them, I have one request. Before you do anything, I have only one request from you. And that is, whatever you want, all the valuables that we have, the money, the jewelry and valuables, I will hand it to you. On one condition, that you don't harm my woman folk. You don't harm my woman folk, and I will hand this to you. The leader of the pack of gangs accepted this. Thereafter, he had come and announced to the woman folk to give away all the valuables and jewelry and monies that they had, and they had consented, and they had obliged and given everything. He had taken this, put it in a cloth, and went up to the leader and said, this is our side of the agreement, that we are fulfilling the agreement. He said, I accept, and he did not harm the woman folk. Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi carried on en route with his family, and while he was going, he heard some discussion at the back and some excitement in the woman folk. He inquired from them. At first they refused. Thereafter they told that one of the persons here, one of the woman folk here, has concealed one very valuable necklace and had not given it. That Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi stopped there, and he said, this is not proper. This is breach of trust. We had made an agreement with the robbers that whatever valuables we would have, we will hand it over to them. It's not proper now for us to leave that necklace with us. Hand it over to me. They had taken the necklace, thereafter gone to the gang of the leaders, and they were sitting very well relaxed there. And when they saw him, they thought he had come now with some reinforcements to attack them, and they began to take their arms. Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi consoled them. I have not come for anything. I've just come here to hand over your amanat. I've come to hand over something that belongs to you, that does not belong to us. Because we had made an agreement that whatever we have, we'll give to you. But one lady had maintained this and kept this here. I hand this amanat over to you, and I ask you to forgive that lady. Can you imagine the height of integrity and honesty and trustworthiness? I hand over this to you, and I ask you to forgive that lady for retaining it. Says when they heard these words, they ask him, you are Muzaffar Hussain. Are you Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain, the one that's known for his honesty? He said, yes, I am Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain. Mentioned at that moment, they began to weep and cry and seek forgiveness from the evil that they had done, and they asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They asked forgiveness from Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain, and they placed their allegiance to Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain rahmatullahi alayhi, and they made tawbah, and they made a pledge to repay all those people that they had taken their valuables away from and had stolen from. So here we find the integrity, the honesty of one person affects and changes the mindset